These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hachaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King, now these are good names, Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who have returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terrible by not obeying the commands, decrees and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place that I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer."
Amen. We thank God for his word to us today. So for the next while, we're going to be looking on Sunday mornings at the book of Nehemiah. Might take a few moments this evening to give a bit more background to the book to help us to understand where it stands in the Bible, which I hope will encourage us to pray as well. Nehemiah was a man of action. He was a man of great bravery. He was also somebody who was very good at organizing, as we shall see in chapter 3. He was somebody who had a big passion for God. And when, at the start of his book, he tells us that he heard that things were going wrong for God's people, he had a plan. He had an idea of something that he could do, and he wanted to put it into action. But before that, Nehemiah was a person who prayed. He knew that prayer wasn't enough. He knew that prayer wasn't a matter of saying, "Oh Lord, please bless us, please do something." Nehemiah knew that the success of what he was hoping for actually depended on him doing things, as we said, at great risk to himself. But he knew where to start. He knew that the place to begin in what he wanted to do was to come and to pray to God. It's great to have that picture given to us today. The strong church is the church that prays together. You know, there's two equal and opposite errors that churches can make. One is to think that it all depends on what we do, and we forget that actually it's him. The other opposite mistake is to think that it all depends on what God does, and we do nothing. So there's lots of practical things to be doing as a church for the vision that God has given to us. But first of all, Nehemiah is a man of prayer. And as we come to pray, there are all sorts of things that we want to pray for. Often we want to pray for ourselves. I hope you want to pray for yourself. Sometimes there are Christians who feel a bit reticent about praying for themselves, and that really isn't good. It's right. Pray for yourself. Bring your own needs to God. Sometimes we want to pray for our families and our friends and for the situations around us. Sometimes, like this morning, when we see what's going on, we want to pray for our world. But Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 1, has one focus for prayer. What matters to him in prayer is the story of God's people and how that story is going. Now, cutting a very long story short, you know, God had called the Israelites to be his people. They were there to represent God in the world. They were there to show something of the amazing nature of God to the world. But the people had failed. God had sent them prophets to warn them. They had been sent into exile, 586 BC. Jerusalem had crashed to the ground. The people had been taken into exile. But about 70 years after that, it looked as if the purposes of God were coming back on track again. The Babylonian Empire fell. There was this opportunity for the people to go back to the land that they believed that God had given them. So Nehemiah, although he was not at home, although he was serving the Persian king, he felt that the story of God's people was at least heading in the right direction. And then he gets this terrible news. Place has been put on fire. The walls are broken down. And yes, Nehemiah cares for this place because it is where he comes from. But more than that, he cares for it because he believes in the story of God. He believes that God has a people. He believes that God wants to work his purposes through his people. And he hears this news that the people of God have been left in this place where they are in great danger, where they are vulnerable, and where they are discouraged and they've got enemies working against them. And Nehemiah cares about that, and he gets down to praying. And he starts to pray for God's people because he wants the story to be turned back round again. He wants God's people to flourish. He wants them to be this people that truly represent God within the world. He wants other people to see the greatness and the love of God through them. So he gets down to praying. You know, as a church here, we stand in a great heritage. 1981, somebody did put this church on fire. And your people have tried to describe to me the sense of devastation that there was when people who were part of this place, who loved this place, came and they looked and they saw the place burnt down. And a number of them said, "This place is going to be rebuilt. The work of God is not going to stop in this place. This building will again be a place where God is worshipped and where God is glorified." That perhaps gives us some sense of what Nehemiah felt like when he heard that Jerusalem had been attacked again, that there had been fire, that walls had been broken down. There was this thing deep within him that cried, "No." This deep thing within him that cried, "I believe in God. I believe that he is still at work within these people." And today we come together as God's family, and alongside the prayer request that we want to make to God for ourselves, for our families, we are called to come and to pray for the story of God's people as it is happening here. Believing that God has called us together for his purpose in this place at this time. We say that we are here, that we should be discovering God together. And if we want to do that, there are lots of things that we need to do. Earlier on in the service, we were acknowledging that even just to get this service to work properly this morning, a lot of people did a lot of things. There is lots of stuff to do. There is a community around us to be reached. There's a community around us to be loved. We're each called to go into our workplaces and to represent Jesus there. So we come to God. And we pray. And we look at the things that we have said. Our purpose is to discover God together through worship, through being God's family together, through learning to follow Jesus, through serving, through being equipped together to be part of God's mission in the world. Doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit so people can discover the love of God for themselves. That's us. That's what we believe that we are called to do. So Nehemiah encourages us to come to God. And like Nehemiah, to say to God, God, we are your people. We're here for your plans. And the prayer of Nehemiah ends in this chapter by Nehemiah having this idea that he can go to the king, he can talk to the king, and he says, God, grant me success. And as I read Nehemiah chapter 1, it does something in my heart to want to pray for our church family here today and to say, Lord, make us successful. Lord, we haven't yet reached what you want us to be as a church family. Nehemiah reminds me that the church matters. Makes me remember that Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it. That Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul who prayed for the church in Ephesus really to know the love of God and to say, yes, Lord, we want to really know that love of God amongst us as well. Nehemiah's practical task was to get a wall rebuilt. It was a work that needed a lot of people to be involved. It needed Nehemiah to show a lot of faith, to believe that he could do what perhaps looked impossible. He didn't have the resources to be able to do it. But he believed that if he asked, he might be able to get them. Of course, we have visions for what we want to do across the road in the community hall. And it's praise God this week. We had a Chariton Together meeting here on Wednesday night. And afterwards, I sort of took the committee across the road and said, I want you to see what's happening across the road. And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that when we walked into the room that used to be known as Pink, that when we went into there, jaws were dropping. Wow! This is good. And I say, okay, well, we kind of want to get the rest of it like that, but we don't have the money yet. And we're not really sure where we're going to get it from. We've got one or two ideas. But we believe that God has given us this building. This is our inheritance. This is what he has given us for the sake of the people who are around us. And so many people are being blessed already. But we know there's a lot of work that we need to do. When Nehemiah prays to the Lord, verse 10, he says to God about the people, these people are your servants. They are God's servants because God has called them to be his servants. And we today are God's servants. We come to God praying and acknowledging, Lord, we're here to do your will. Lord, we're here to be church together. Lord, we are here for the sake of those who are around us. So Nehemiah prays to God, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. There's two huge things to learn from that verse. Maybe three. I mean, first of all, that God is great. We sang that in our opening hymns today. If we're going to come and be God's people together, we need to know how great God is. We need to be confident in that. We need to realize that he has great power to do what he wants to achieve. But he isn't just a great and awesome God. He is a God who keeps his covenant of love. He is a God who is committed to revealing his love to his people whenever they turn to him. So even though things in Nehemiah's time are going badly, Nehemiah knows that he can knock on the door of heaven and he can say to God, God, you are committed to loving us. Do you know Jesus is committed today to loving his church? And that doesn't depend on how well or badly things are going. He loves us. No matter what is going on, he has this rock-solid commitment. That is what he does. And in a moment, we're going to be taking bread and wine together, and we will say, as Jesus said about the cup, this cup is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. So we can come to God today, and we can take bread and wine together, and we can know that God forgives us. We can know that God loves us. And the other thing to note from that verse, he keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So today, it's worth saying, I want to do something to love God. I want to do something to show God that I love him. And Nehemiah confesses the sins of God's people. He knew what the prophets had said, that they were in this mess because these people hadn't lived up to what God had called them to be. That there was no point in God having a people like the people were at that moment. But Nehemiah confesses the sins. He confesses not just the sins of God's people, but he confesses that he is part of the problem. He confesses that his family is part of the problem. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And we can come to the Lord today as we take communion. We can say, yes, Lord, we haven't done everything Jesus told us to do. We haven't loved as Jesus has called us to love. But Lord, you are committed to keeping your covenant of love with us. So we come to you today and we say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we're going to move on. And Lord, what needs to be rebuilt, we will seek to rebuild. So let's come to God in prayer as people who believe that we are part of a big story, just like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah knew how the story went. God's people failing, God's people being judged, God's people being into exile, God forgiving them, God bringing them back. Okay, bit of a hiccup now, but that's the story, Nehemiah says. I believe it. And he comes to God and he says, God, listen to me. And as we'll be meeting a couple of times in the next couple of weeks to pray, I believe it's time for us to be saying to God, God, come and give us success. Come and make us to be, as a church, what we are hoping to be. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. You know, this morning I took these down. We looked at them earlier in the service, the exercise that we did on Easter Sunday. And I just asked you to write down with a cross in the middle what you wanted to praise God for, to thank God for, to say sorry for, what we wanted to ask God for. And I read the things that we wanted to praise God for, and I thought, you know, here is a community of people who really do know something about God. Here is a group of people who've got something to give. Here is a group of people who understand a lot about the love of God. And as I read Nehemiah, he says, well, this is us. We are the ones who delight in revering the name of God. We are the ones who delight in praising him. So let's keep praising him. And Nehemiah prays, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And Nehemiah adds, I was cupbearer to the king. In terms of this story, Nehemiah found that God had placed him in the right place at the right time so he could do something. And for each one of us today, maybe there is something where we could be in the right place at the right time to do something to advance God's plan. If you know what that is, get praying about it. If you don't, talk about it. Try and work it out. But Nehemiah prayed for success. And as we'll see over the next few weeks, he got success. He succeeded in what he believed God was telling him to do. May God grant us success. May God give us favor in the things we seek to do for him. So let's pray together now. Lord, you are the great and awesome God, the Lord God of heaven, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So, Lord, let your ear be open and your eyes open to hear the prayer that we pray to you. Lord, we confess our sins. We confess that we have fallen short of what you want for us. We have not fully obeyed the commands that you have given to us. But Lord, you have promised to be committed to your church. You have redeemed us. You have sent your Son to save us. So, Lord, hear the prayers we pray of those who delight in you and those who believe that we are in your great story, that you have given us as a church this great heritage, and you call us to move on with it. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. Amen.